You're listening to live courtroom coverage of the trial of Karen Reed from the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today. Now, back to the courtroom.
Have you seen that video before?
Yes, I have.
What does it depict?
It depicts a tow truck from Diamond Towing arriving at Canton Police Department, followed by my personal pickup truck that we're following the vehicle in.
That video that's before the video of being in the Sallyport?
Yes, it is.
When you were considering the physical pieces of evidence as part of your investigation, were you considering the weather conditions that night?
Yes.
When you were evaluating pieces of physical evidence that were found at 34 Fairview, were you making any assessment about their location or depth or closeness to the ground when you were evaluating them?
Yes.
And why were you considering the closeness of items to the ground?
Well, common sense will dictate that if a item is found on the grass and there's snow covering it, that it would have been placed prior to the snow accumulating. If an item is shoved into the snow, it will be exposed as the snow melts prior to it reaching the ground level.
I'm going to ask you to, with the court's assistant, retrieve Exhibit 85. May I approach?
Yes.
I have to go over and get it.
You don't have it. I'm sorry.
I can just write across it.
My apologies.
No, that's okay. Sure.
Thank you.
I'll bring it.
You have some questions while we wait?
I can. When you retrieved pieces of taillight on February 3rd, did you consider their location, not only where on the lawn they were, but about the depth of where they were found?
Yes, I did.
And based on the items that you found on February 3rd, how close to the ground were they?
They were on the ground, or in the instance with the hat, it was frozen almost in a solid piece to the grass blades, to the ground.
And was that significant to you, how the hat was found?
Yes, it was.
If I could have 99C. And can we now have 99D? Beneath the hat on the left side next to the ruler, what do you see?
Yellow grass and a leaf, I believe, a brown leaf.
Was that of importance to you?
Yes, it was.
I may approach, Your Honor?
Yes.
And if you could turn the lights on and take that down, please. Thank you, sir. I'm approaching with exhibit 85. Could you take the item out of the bag, please, sir?
Yes, sir.
Thank you. Can you look at the back of the pants, please? As part of your investigation and the significance of the evidence, did you consider any debris on the back of the pants as part of your analysis?
Yes, the grass stains on the left.
Objection.
The appearance of the...
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
The appearance of the staining that's taken place or had taken place on these jeans was significant in the fact that it appears to be green and grass stain.
What did that suggest to you as part of your evaluation of your investigation and the decisions that you made after?
It suggests that Mr. O'Keefe impacted the grass area with his left glute, transferring green staining onto his pants.
Are you, or do you know from your investigation, the amount of snow that was on the ground at about 12:32:09 to 12:32:12 on January 29th of 2022?
Yes, based on my investigation and review of video from surveillance footage, it appears to be very little to a coating of snow in some areas.
You could repackage that for us, please?
Yes, sir.
I have just a few final questions for you, Trooper McKenna.
Yes, sir.
You were asked questions about interviewing Brian Higgins.
Yes.
And you shared with us that he provided you a number of text messages between him and the defendant.
Yes.
You began to explain that you vet information during your investigation.
Yes, we do.
What did you tell him you were going to do with the messages he was giving you?
I explained to Mr. Higgins that we have in our custody and will eventually get into both the defendant's phone and Mr. O'Keefe's phone so that protect his integrity as a law enforcement official. I told him that the information he was providing better be true and accurate, or else he would suffer the consequences of the ulterior.
Did you, in fact, vet what he gave you?
Yes.
And before you vetted it, did he make any changes, additions, or subtractions from that information?
No, he did not.
And when you vetted that information, was there anything different from the alternative source, that being the defendant's phone, from his phone?
Not that I noticed, no.
Your Honor, that exhibit or that document has been marked for identification. I'd like to introduce it as an exhibit.
Which document?
The identification number is that? I apologize. I'll need to look. I don't know the number offhand.
I think the clerks might have it.
It's marked for identification.
No, it's actually marked for. It was EE, and now it's.
Oh, it was introduced?
It was.
I didn't realize that this has been introduced as Exhibit 150. As part of your investigation, did you look to see if there was any animus or difficulty between Mr. Higgins and Mr. O'Keefe prior to Mr. O'Keefe's death?
Yes.
Did you look at text message records to see if there was any motive that was evidenced in those text messages for Mr. Higgins to want to murder Mr. O'Keefe?
I did look.
May I approach?
Yes.
I handed you a document. Do you recognize that package of materials?
Yes, I do.
And what is it?
It's the extraction printed out from Brian Higgins' phone, dated 2-3, meaning February 3rd, 2022. And it is a conversation between the defendant and Mr. Higgins.
Does it extend a number of different dates?
Yes, it does.
Did you look through those conversations or text messages to identify whether there was any animus or motive?
Yes, I did.
I'd move to introduce those documents as the next exhibit.
No objection, Your Honor.
Did you find any?
Hold on.
Exhibit 132.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Trooper Buchanan, did you find any evidence in the conversation?
Hold on, I'm sorry. Proceed.
131.
Okay, thank you. Sorry, go ahead.
My apologies.
No, that's okay. So,
Trooper Kent, when you studied the materials, the conversation, communications between Brian Higgins and John O'Keefe, did you find any evidence shaping your investigation that there was a motive to harm, hurt, or murder Mr. O'Keefe by Mr. Higgins?
No, there was not.
I have no further questions at this time.
Okay.
Thank you, Your Honor. Okay. If I may.
Sure.
You were just asked about Brian Higgins in your interview with Brian Higgins. Where did that take place?
In Sharon, at an attorney's office.
At his lawyer's house, correct?
I'm not sure if he resides there, but it was an office.
With his lawyer present, correct?
Yes.
Do you find that unusual?
Objection.
Sustained.
He wasn't under arrest, correct?
No.
You hadn't read him his rights?
No need to know.
No need to, because he wasn't in custody, correct?
Correct.
He was just a witness in a case that you were investigating.
That's correct.
But he asked that you interview him in his lawyer's presence, correct?
Yes.
You were asked about any evidence of Brian Higgins having a motive to murder John O'Keefe just a few minutes ago by Mr. Brennan, right?
Yes.
And you said, no, I didn't find a motive that Brian Higgins would want to murder John O'Keefe. Is that right?
That's right.
What about a motive to confront him about a girl he was interested in? Did you see that?
I believe the text messages speak for themselves. Everybody heard me read them out loud.
Yep, the text messages do, but I'm asking you. You were just asked about your opinion, whether or not there was a motive that you found for Brian Higgins to want to murder John O'Keefe. I'm asking you a different question. Did you, in your mind, in your opinion, after having read those texts, find a motive for Brian Higgins to perhaps want to confront John O'Keefe because of jealousy?
If you're asking for my opinion is that he would need to confront Mr. O'Keefe. Mr. O'Keefe was not the one pursuing Mr. Higgins. It was your client that was pursuing Mr. Higgins.
Okay, so
Well, the text messages, like you said, speak for themselves. You'll agree that it showed that there was a mutual interest, right? It just wasn't one-sided.
At times, there was... at times, there was flattering text messages from both sides. But your client reached out to him first.
Right. I mean, somebody's got to reach out, right? Everybody's got to reach out to somebody. First, someone's got to do it first, right?
Well, it depends.
That doesn't mean that there's not mutual affection for one another. Is that right? Or at least perceived mutual affection.
I don't understand the question.
Did you see in those text messages, in your mind, a motive that might lead to jealousy on the part of Brian Higgins?
No, I think Brian Higgins was pretty clear in his request for explanation of what the defendant wanted out of this, and stated that he's friends with Mr. O'Keefe. So he wanted clarity from the defendant about what was going on.
Sorry, go ahead.
I didn't read it to be that he was jealous, as I sit here thinking back on the content.
What about after drinking Jameson and ginger all night long and sending a text that said, well?
Objection.
Don't allow that.
Might that change things?
I don't know what Mr. Higgins' state of mind was. Well, could mean many different things. They could have had a face-to-face interaction, a look. We'd be strictly speculating what was intended by that, or what was the intent of communication by that text message.
After weeks of communicating with Ms. Reed in a romantic manner, and then seeing her walk in the door with John O'Keefe and sending the text message, after having been intoxicated, you see that, detective, as an investigator, as a reasonable, objective investigator, as a possible scenario for Brian Higgins to be jealous about John O'Keefe.
There's a possibility there, but I didn't see it.
Did you explore that possibility when you got all these text messages?
We did not follow up on that aspect based on the totality of the entire investigation.
Did you pull the tape at the waterfall and review the tape as we did here in court?
That happened, yes.
Okay. Did you see on the tape a time just before Brian Higgins left the location where he was confronted by Chris Albert?
Objection.
Change the wording.
Sure. Did you see a situation on that tape where Brian Higgins is standing and Chris Albert physically puts his hand on Brian Higgins' arm, on his left arm?
I don't have a specific memory of that.
You remember a circumstance on that tape where Brian Higgins pulled his arm away and looked past Chris Albert over toward the bar, which is where John O'Keefe was standing?
I do remember you pointing that out, but we couldn't tell who exactly he was looking at based on the video.
Did you see a circumstance in which Brian Higgins then put his hand on his forehead and began rubbing his forehead like this?
I don't have a memory of that.
Did you see a circumstance in which he then motioned over toward that side of the bar with his left hand?
That I remember, yes.
Did that seem realistic to you? Let me ask it a different way. Did that seem to you as a reasonable interpretation, hey, come on outside? Or come here?
Very reasonable, since they've been invited to 34 Fairview.
Did it look, in your opinion, that that was just a, hey, let's go together? Or did it look more to you like, hey, come outside? Or let's step outside?
The totality of the investigation, the fact that when they stepped outside, there was no confrontation and they were invited to the address. Again, totality of the investigation suggests otherwise.
Let's talk about that totality of the investigation. You're aware that Brian Higgins left first. He was the first to arrive at 34 Fairview, even before Brian Albert.
I am, yes.
And you're also aware that John O'Keefe and Karen Reed were among the last to arrive. So they didn't step outside together, right?
They didn't step outside, but once he was invited, according to your narrative, wouldn't they have a discussion outside where he was invited to come out?
So, Mr. Jackson, I just want to ask you, how much longer do you think?
Not long. I can finish this up if you give me probably 10 minutes.
All right. The jurors are saying yes. Is it okay with all the jurors? We usually break at 4.
I don't want to overstep. I'm happy to stop now, but I think I can get it finished.
I'd like to finish with this witness and not have to bring him back again tomorrow. Thank you.
Thank you, Your Honor. I appreciate the accommodation. You're aware that, according to the tape, John O'Keefe left about 10 minutes after Brian Higgins, or so.
I'll take your word for it.
Okay. You would agree, as a homicide investigator, not every death starts off as an intended murder, correct?
I will agree to that.
Sometimes a fight could go wrong, and you intend to fight and duke it out. Something goes wrong, something goes south, and someone dies, correct?
Objection.
Is that something that you know, it's beyond the scope, so move along.
You were asked on redirect examination about taillight pieces that were found by the CERT team. I want to ask you real quick about that. Your testimony was you recall that the CERT team found a large piece of red taillight material during their initial search. Is that correct?
That's my recollection, yes.
Okay. You had a debriefing with the CERT team, correct?
Not the CERT team. I had a debrief with the members of our unit at the Canton PD conference room. I do not have a memory of the CERT team being there.
Do you recall ever being told or informed that the CERT team actually recovered maybe 5 or 6 pieces, maybe 7 pieces of small plastic material in addition to the shoe? As opposed to a large piece of red taillight?
The memory that stands out to me that I have is that there was a large piece of plastic recovered. It wasn't a shard. It was significant enough that, you know, shown on the photograph taken by Detective Lieutenant Tully.
And do you recall that the CERT team, or were you ever informed that the CERT team found those, according to the CERT team, within inches of one another, within about a 2-foot square radius?
I don't have a memory of where they found them exactly. I wasn't there.
Okay. You were asked about the taillight. You were shown a photograph of the taillight where almost the entirety of that lens material is missing. It's gone, correct?
Yes.
And you remember talking to Jen McCabe originally, interviewing her within days of this incident happening, correct?
It was the 29th we interviewed.
As a matter of fact, the day.
The day, yes.
Do you remember her saying that the taillight was cracked / broken?
She communicated that over the phone to Michael Proctor, which was then documented later on in the interview report.
Okay.
From earlier.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
And it was documented within the interview report.
Okay. And in that interview report, it doesn't say the entire lens cap of that taillight is gone. Correct?
Correct. The report does not say that, no.
And she didn't describe that, did she?
I don't know what she described to Micah Proctor over the phone.
You pulled out a pair of jeans belonging to Mr. O'Keefe just a second ago.
Yes.
And you noted that on his, what would be his left rear pocket, there was a stain?
Yes.
You said that was an apparent grass stain, and it was green.
Based on my observation here holding them, that's what it appeared, yes. Maybe dirt, maybe other substances.
That was my question. Did you seek to analyze what that discoloration was from? Or have caused that to be analyzed by the crime lab or anybody else?
The genes were processed. I don't know what their protocol is to analyze it. They process those genes. There's pieces missing from cuttings and stuff like
Understood.
That.
Understood. So as you sit here, you have no evidence at all that those are grass stains, correct?
Strictly my experience of knowing grass stains and observing it.
Could be dirt.
Could be.
Could be oil or grease.
I don't know about that, but...
They look brown. Stains look brown, don't they?
There's different parts of the stain. Some has brown, some has green. Different parts of it.
Could you get, in your experience, stains on the back of pants from being dragged?
I've never dragged anybody, so I, from my experience, I can't tell you.
I didn't ask if you've ever dragged anybody. You've never murdered anybody either, but you're a homicide investigator, right? Did you get those stains from being dragged? It's just a common sense question.
My common sense dictates that it was not a drag, a mark, because it would have linear characterizations, and it would be both buttocks that are engaged in contact with the ground while being dragged.
What if he was being dragged? And he had something in his pocket, or being dragged at an angle. Dragged through a crease spot. It was only on the left. What about all those possibilities?
Again, my opinion, common sense dictates it was not the case.
But you certainly didn't take any action to investigate the forensically what those stains actually were.
I did not know.
By the way, can you lose a shoe from being dragged?
It depends. I guess you can, depending on how loose it is.
You said that there was no information that you had regarding Brian Higgins and John O'Keefe having any animosity toward each other prior to January 29th, 2022, correct?
Correct.
But you did, we talked about, now let's talk about on January 29th, 2022. In your experience, does drinking alcohol increase a likelihood or increase the possibility of getting into an altercation?
I would say, in my experience, in my opinion, the alcohol could become a social lubricant and exacerbate emotions. But to speak in a definitive form here, I can't.
You've heard of beer muscles. That's a common phrase, right?
Never heard that before, no.
Beer guts? You ever heard that one?
I've heard of beer gut, but not beer guts.
Having the guts to walk up to someone you might not otherwise walk up to in a bar because you've had too much to drink. Is that what beer muscles could mean?
I would say maybe liquid courage.
Even better. What does liquid courage mean?
Giving you courage that truly shouldn't be there.
That you might not otherwise have if you weren't drinking.
Yeah. Yes.
Can we wrap this up, Mr. Jameson?
I'm trying, Judge. I won't be much longer. You had evidence that Brian Higgins had been drinking most of the afternoon and evening that evening and night, at the time that John O'Keefe and Karen Reed walked into the waterfall, correct?
I had information that Brian Higgins had returned from a police officer's funeral and then went to waterfall after he changed clothes and took a shower.
Went to the hillside before he went to the waterfall and started drinking there, correct?
I don't have an independent memory of that, no.
But you did, at the time, you didn't pull the tape at Gesundheit. At the time, you didn't pull the tape at CPD that we saw with Brian Higgins on the phone at 1:30 in the morning, correct? You didn't have that information?
I'm sorry, can you... Can you give me a reference when at the time?
At the beginning of your investigation, January 29th and probably the next, let's call it a couple months. Mm-hmm. You did not have that information, correct?
No, we did not.
And you didn't seek that information from CPD at that time?
No, I had no information that he went there.
Okay, and you didn't extract his phone, correct?
That's correct.
And finally, you indicated that you were asked on redirect examination, did you have any evidence that John actually went into the home? Did you ever interview Trooper Guarino during the course of your investigation at any time?
Interview him?
Talk to him about his extraction of John O'Keefe's phone and any of the data that came off of his phone.
No.
You did not realize that Trooper Guarino had information that John O'Keefe took 36 steps covering a distance of some 84 feet that would have placed Mr. O'Keefe inside the residence at 12:32:16.
Objection.
Sustained.
Did you have any information from Trooper Guarino about steps that were logged on Mr. O'Keefe's phone?
No, I did not.
Is that it, Mr. Jackson? You said finally, that's what I'm wondering.
May I have just a moment?
Yes.
I'm trying to wrap this up. I only have a couple more things, but I may be able to finish it with one question. As you sit here now, are you aware of whether or not there's evidence that John O'Keefe, the phone describes John O'Keefe's phone taking 36 steps, covering a distance of about 84 feet at 12:32:16 on the morning of January 29th, 2022.
Objection.
Can you answer that? Are you aware of that?
I am not, Your Honor.
Okay, the answer is?
The answer was?
No, I'm not aware of that.
All right. Jurors, I appreciate you staying late, so Trooper Guarino, you do not have to return.
Thank you, Your Honor.
So,
thank
folks,
you.
Those same cautions, please do not discuss this case with anyone. Don't do any independent research or investigation into this case. If you happen to see, hear, or read anything about this case, please disregard it and let us know, and be careful with your social media use. We'll see you tomorrow.
Good advice for the jury.
So it's everything.
There's more live courtroom coverage coming up. Press subscribe now so you don't miss a second from the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today.